This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing? Why don't I see anybody with the workbooks? I see Auntie Fatima has a workbook. That's why she won first. Alhamdulillah. We said that you have to follow, inshallah, the section, and the workbooks are available to go through this tafsir. Because as we said, the surah is quite in depth, inshallah. So, before we begin, actually, with Surah Al-Kahf, a question came through with regards to fasting. So someone asked, what is the ruling with regards to ladies who are breastfeeding or pregnant? Do they pay a fidya? Do they make up the day? So basically, just quickly, quick summary. There are two types of people who are exempted from fasting. Two types of people. The one type of person is the permanently ill or the permanently aged person. A person who is so weak, they can't fast and they will never ever be able to fast. Right? So if granny is too old to fast today, in a month's time, she will be even older. Yes? So that person will never ever be healthy enough to fast. For such a person, they pay a fidya for every day that they missed. Fidya, basically, they feed somebody. They feed somebody to the meal to the value of 10 rand. Right? So you give a loaf of bread, whatever it might be. You can do it up front, 30 people on day one, or at the end of Ramadan, or every day if you wish. That's how you do fidya. As for the person who is temporarily unable to fast, meaning they're only unable to fast today, tomorrow, but in a few days' time, they'll be better. After Ramadan, they need to make those days up. So this is the sick person who has a temporary illness, or the traveler, and therefore the breastfeeding lady, and the pregnant lady, she's only temporarily unable to fast. Inshallah, once she's done breastfeeding, once she's done, when she's given birth, she would be healthy again to fast, so she just makes up the days that she has missed. So also breastfeeding in itself does not break your fast. So if you're able, you're strong enough to fast and breastfeed, then that's fine, that's permissible, no problem. Okay? Any questions on that? I assume more from upstairs than from downstairs. And I, well, alhamdulillah. Okay, that was just to clarify a question that came through. Someone asked me with regards to breastfeeding. Yesterday we're talking about the second section of Surah Al-Kahf and the story of the sleepers in the cave, which was one of the questions that the rabbis asked the Prophet, peace be upon him. And we said, what it appears to be that these were a group of people in the area of Ephesus in Turkey. That was the answer to yesterday's question, that their people were pagans, they worshipped the old Roman gods, but these young seven youths, young men, they embraced Christianity, not really Christianity, just the fact that they said, we don't want to worship anything besides Allah. So they were persecuted and they ran away, and they decided, look, tonight we're going to spend the evening in the cave and we're going to avoid our people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes their story. We see in ayah 10, 11 and 12, Allah summarized their story. And then Allah said, this is, O rabbis, O clergy, this is all the facts you have. These are the facts. Now I will tell you the story. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأٌ بِالْحَقِّ. I will tell you the story in truth. That they were a group of young people who believed in their Lord. So Allah increased them in guidance. And Allah tied down their hearts when they stood up and they said, our Lord, the one we worship, is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Never ever will we ask, worship anyone besides Allah. If we did that, then we would have entered into a grave mistake. لَقَدْ كُلْنَا إِذَا شَطَطَ. We would have made a huge mistake if we worshipped anyone besides Allah. Allah then continues in their dialogue. They said, the youth, the fitya, these young men, they said, هَؤُلَاءِ كَوْمُنَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِيَا. Our people, these our people, have taken besides Allah other ilahs, other deities, other objects of worship. لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيْهِنْ. Why don't our people, our forefathers, our buddhas, our imams, our sheikhs, bring some evidence? Where did these idols come from? Why are these idols holy? Who gave them these names? Where is your evidence? فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. And then they are asking, and who is more unjust? Who tells basically a bigger lie than one who invents a lie against Allah? This shows you, and this theme from the beginning of the surah throughout, is that we are a deen of dalil, of evidence. We don't want blind following. We don't just follow what the imam says blindly, or what our forefathers have done blindly. We ask for evidences. We use our mind. Allah says so many times in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ. Do you not think, do you not ponder Does it make sense that you worship statues and stones and graves and people that have died long time ago? Does it make sense that people who live and die, you worship them? Isn't it better to worship the one who created everything? Isn't that more logical? Doesn't that make more reasonable, rational sense? When you find traditions and habits in our culture, we need to ask, where do these things come from? And if they're not from the deen, and they've been incorporated in the deen, we should not be afraid to break from that tradition. If that tradition goes against the Sharia, and many cultures you'd find, for example, certain oppression to women you find, not part of Islam, but it is a culture that puts that there. You find certain customs for protection. We say if it's not part of the deen, we should separate from that. Because we are people of evidence of dalil. You know, subhanAllah, I must admit, you come to the masjid, right, Friday. Most brilliant people, doctors, lawyers, engineers, very intelligent people. But they come into the masjid and they completely switch their brains off. It's like Jumu'ah time is a time to nap or something. And they just accept whatever imams or sheikhs say. Our job is to, with respect of course, with respect, to interrogate what our ulama and our shuyukh say. And that's why, once again, who are the people that are deceiving the masses from this story? From those who said Allah has taken a son. From those who are telling the people, worship others besides Allah. It is the clergy, the ulama. When the ulama invent lies, when the ulama deceive their people, this is when the fitna spreads. So both the ulama, there's a great warning to them. And of course, to those of us who listen, we should follow evidences. We should follow dalil. So Allah says, وَإِذِ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَى اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. And when you have withdrawn, now either this is Allah inspiring in their hearts, or one of them said to one another, and when you have left them, meaning our people, when we have run away from our people, and we have left all of the things they worshipped other than Allah. Why do they say, when we left and boycotted everything they worshipped besides Allah? Why do they say that? Are you with me? It shows that even the people of shirk worship Allah. Yes? Understand this. Abu Jahl, the worst of the worst, they worshipped Allah. They believed in Allah. They believed in one creator. Believing in one creator doesn't make you a believer. It is who you worship. So they believed in Allah. They believed in one creator. But when they were in difficulty, in hardship, then they went to Jesus. Then they went to the idols. Then they went to the kramats. Then they went to the tawi for protection. So these young people said, we left our people and all the things they worshipped except Allah. The only thing that we kept worshipping with our people is Allah. فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. Then retreat into the cave. Go into the cave for protection. Your Lord will spread out for you His mercy. Now remember, right at the beginning, Allah says, the first thing they asked, they said, Ya Allah, give us mercy and make easy our affairs. Show us a way out. So the minute they got up and they ran away, so Allah says, now I'm going to spread my mercy upon you and I will prepare for you, make easy for you your affairs. Right, question here. When should we break away from our community? So these group of people, they shunned their community and they ran away. So it's a question to think about. Is it better to say, you know what, out of safety for me and my family, I pack my family up, I maybe buy a small farm in the middle of the Karoo, and I'm going to live there the rest of my days, and that's where we're going to live. Is this better? Or is it better to live in society? There's a hadith where the Prophet also says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of you is the one who lives within the community and you deal with the fitna, the evils basically of others, but you continue to do your good. Right? So we said certain tribulations, you don't put yourself in the fitna, but we also do not become an isolated, gated community. Only us, we have a small little Sharia state here in the Bukab, and no one is allowed to come in. You say the kalima, then you can come in. If not, you're not allowed to come in. That's not how the deen is. And in fact, the Anbiya of Allah, they didn't do that. The most pious of people, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he didn't go sit in a cave and say, khalas, this is how I'm going to worship Allah. Because part of our responsibility is to be in the community, to uphold your deen in spite of the fitna, and to improve and encourage others. That is what is the best. So Allah says they ran into the cave now. They didn't have a plan. It was perhaps just for one evening they got into the cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ. And if you saw them, so now they're in the cave, you would have seen the sun when it rose inclining from their right side, meaning the sun rose from the right. And when it set passing on the left, meaning the east was on the right. So imagine in your mind the cave. So the opening is facing this direction, north. And the sun is on the east, or the east is on their right, and the sun would rise up and then it would set on their left. So it was one night or one day that they stayed in the cave. And they were lying and it was open. The cave was quite open. This is Allah says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. This was from the signs of Allah. Why? Because Allah is actually describing a place, which direction it's facing. It's open, it's basically its geography. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, never saw this. Those of the ulama of the who knew the story, and they knew where the cave was, now this is an evidence for them. Allah saying, this is a clear evidence that this is where and how the cave looked like. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْدَدُ. Whomever Allah wishes to guide will be guided. وَمَنْ يُرِلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. But he whom Allah leaves astray, never will he find a protector and a guidance other than Allah. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. And you would have thought them awake. So then they came to the cave, they fell asleep. And then Allah says, but if you came upon them, if you came into the cave, you would have thought that they were awake. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. And we moved their bodies left and right. We made them move. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطُ ذِرَاعِهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. And their dog stretched his legs out at the entrance. So these are a group of young men, and they brought their dog with. They had a dog with them. And the dog was also sleeping, and its legs were stretched out at the entrance of the cave. So these men looked like they were awake. لو اطلعت عليهم, Allah continues, لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا. That if you came upon them, if you had looked at them, you would have turned away in flight and you would have been filled with terror. You would have been freaked out if you came into that cave. Because they look like the walking dead or like zombies or something, right? They're sleeping, but they're moving. They are physically alive. And obviously, they're fast asleep. So you would have been shocked if you came in there. And that's why, for a long period of time, people believed this cave was haunted. Whoever went in there and they got to see these people, they ran away. And therefore, there was an inscription, a tablet on this cave that, look, whoever goes in here, it's dangerous, whatever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them like this. We'll continue about them, but just a point to make once again. Allah continues to mention that these were young men, a fitya. And Allah doesn't mention one of them. He mentions them in a group. These are seven young men, seven friends. And the last we leave off with this understanding that, subhanAllah, look at what good friends do. That if you find yourself having a good friend, I mean, subhanAllah, we heard, rather a bad friend we heard in the Taraweeh tonight. In the Taraweeh tonight, Yasin recited, Allah says, on the day of Qiyamah, when the disbelievers will bite on their hands, they'll physically bite their fingers and they'll say, why did I take this person as my friend? Ya Allah, why did I take him as my friend? I am lost, I am in Jahannam because of him. Here you find that these were a group of young, good friends. They guided one another, and subhanAllah, Allah made this miracle. Put them to sleep, and we'll see how Allah wakes them up, how long they spent in the cave, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to be an ayah for their people. And until now, we recite this story. We continue inshaAllah tomorrow. Some questions. We said yesterday, where is Ephesus? We said these are the youth of Ephesus. Ephesus is, of course, in Turkey. It is in Turkey. Tonight's question, something you have to basically think about, visualize. Which direction was the dog's four legs facing in the cave? North, south, east, or west? Right? Which direction were the dog's legs facing? Right? In the cave. Right? Inshallah, so this should be an easy one. And then I see there's a slide up here just to remind everyone, and subhanAllah, every day I'm thinking of raising funds for something. Remember, we have a daily cup of soup program. People who don't have anything to eat or struggle to eat, the soup kitchen, Buranul Islam soup kitchen, offers them a meal, a soup basically, and some bread, I assume, some bread and soup, so, and dates as well. So people break their fast there. So if you'd like the reward of contributing to that, please speak to Brother Talib, or you can directly donate, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. We continue tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.